You are listening to Maddie and Anthony's World. We are headphoneless right now because Maddie forgot the phone jacks. Maddie, what
it's
is happening?
It's not my fault.
Whose fault would it be? You forgot them.
Well, I'm sorry. I had a really busy morning.
Well, you had a busy morning, but it is your fault, and it's nice that you're finally owning up.
All right, it's my fault.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But also, the headphones here give a lot of feedback, and I really
what do they say? They don't like
hearing.
You.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, they do. No, they give way too much feedback, like where it buzzes so much that it could stop your hearing. And I tell you, I got to be able to hear stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's a
right?
big part.
Kind of a part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever see the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper movie, A Star Is Born?
I did. I loved
it. He starts losing his hearing. That was a big thing.
Oh, yeah, he does.
That, not to give everything away.
By the way, did you see the Oscars?
It's not a big deal with that. You know,
with what?
Everyone's looking at me like I'm giving something away. It's a minor part of the story, you know, so no big deal. Did I watch the Oscars? No, I don't really, it doesn't really.
You didn't watch the Oscars?
Well, who cares about them?
How could you?
Well, it's nice to watch a bunch of really rich people winning awards and getting more rich. That's nice.
So you're envious or you're jealous of them?
Nah, I just don't care. I'd rather sit back and I've been watching. Do you remember the punk band Bad Brains?
you'd rather watch Bad Brains than the Oscars.
Well, I've been just watching little documentaries about Bad Brains and the guy HR, who was the lead singer, and he was going through a lot of issues in his life. And
like what?
Well, I don't know if he's even been diagnosed, but he was definitely an eccentric and going, like, leaving the band and hearing things and not seeing things. So they say he has paranoid schizophrenia, but I just watched little things about him and the band. Do you know Bad Brains?
Do you hear that sound?
No, I don't
I was
hear
just
anything.
Kidding. I was paranoid.
Are you making you fun of the Bad Brains
no.
guy?
No. No.
So I've been watching that and old 90s wrestling on YouTube.
Let's talk about your socks, though.
What the heck is there to talk about? There's spotted socks.
Yellow socks with spots.
All right, that's about it. There you go. Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about my socks. I'll tell you what's really going on. You want to know something about me. Earlier today, I got a nice breakfast sandwich from this place, Local. I'm assuming it's
a
take on local.
Is that with a K or C?
It's a K, L-O-K-A-L. Nice cheese sandwich called the Bay. First of all, when they were saying Bay sandwich, when they were calling it, I didn't know what, I thought they literally were saying May. So I was just sitting there and I thought they were like, May, May. And they were actually calling out my sandwich.
Oh.
Also, second time with this place, I order an iced drink. They give me a warm, and that's 0-for-2 with that. Anyways, I get the sandwich, a very good sandwich. I'm on my way home, excited to eat it after dropping Zane off to preschool. I jump in, and my landlord, the Golden Lab 70-pound, is sitting in the yard, and I walk through the gate. It's fine. He runs up, tries to grab the sandwich right from my hand. So I'm fighting, and he's shaking his head and
what
holding
a monster.
The sandwich. And so then I finally get it away from him. I realize now that my sandwich that I had paid for, I might have to chop it in half because Timothy had some kind of diarrhea vomiting all weekend. And I do not know.
Was that from the sandwich?
No, no, I'm saying all weekend. This was today with the
Did
sandwich.
Did you still eat the sandwich?
Well, this is what I'm saying. I didn't know if I could get sick from Timothy. Can you get like a stomach
flu
from an animal?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I cut.
Well, there's like parasites.
Yeah, I cut his end, but I think it's not a parasite because we've noticed that there's like a shag carpet in his vomit and crabs. I think he got into some kind of carpet. Anyways, so Timothy won't give up, will not give in, Maddie. I have to put the sandwich. I'm 6'3". The sandwich is, I'm putting it in the air, holding it in the sky. Timothy's jumping at me. I start trying to like fake Timothy out, like by
you're throwing the sandwich.
I like pretend to throw the sandwich. He doesn't. This landlord doesn't give in. Doesn't think that it's that I'm going to throw it. Then I yell, "Ball, ball!" I thought he would like that. Nothing. So I'm trying to get to my house. He blocks the door and he won't let me in. And I'm grabbing him. And when you grab him, he plays dead. Because he knows he's going to get it. He does get into my apartment. My dog, Mama Mia's food's in the kitchen area. Timothy runs in and starts eating Mama Mia's food. I try to shoo him
Does this dog not eat or something?
Well, he had the diarrhea. I don't know what he's supposed to be eating, what he's not. So I shoo him out of there. It's impossible. Then he grabs two of Mama Mia's toys. I can't get him away from him. I finally let him out with one of Mama Mia's toys. The second I shut the door, he drops Mama Mia's toy. He could care less about it when he's not annoying me with this landlord. And I got to pay rent to this guy, which is another weird thing. So that was my morning. And it's just always something with this Timothy and my dog, Mama Mia. Now she's got a loose tooth. And I think it's because she's been trying to fight with Timothy over a bone that is made for a strong dog, like a big dog. And my dog's only 15 pounds. And now she's got a little tooth.
Happy tooth.
And my wife says she doesn't want me to take her in for dental because it's a racket. So now the dental thing. Speaking of dentists,
You went to a dentist?
Yeah, I don't want to keep ranting. There's stuff in your life, too.
No. I got to hear about the dentist thing.
Well, all right. This is the last part about my life. I went to a dentist, and the first thing, I haven't been for a couple years, and I realize this. Dentists, maybe just their assistant, they don't make you feel comfortable when you sit down. I feel the judgment. Immediately, like with a doctor, if the doctor's like, "Well, you put on a couple pounds, but it's okay," you know,
people put on pounds. What kind of dentist are you going
to? All dentists, when you walk in,
they don't say that.
They didn't say anything. It was the air, it was the feeling of Jesus. These people are—they're just judging me. I can feel it. What the hell is this guy? Does he brush his teeth?
Are you maybe paranoid?
The assessment came and, you know, they want to do deep cleaning and then I have cavity within cavity from an old cap that I had, you know, probably from high school or something. And I have some metal filling still and they were just looking at that.
What about your wisdom teeth?
They're there. I have really got to get it together with this teeth. And then they gave me assessment. I believe it was like $8,000 for everything.
Right, yeah.
And then they're like, but if you use our insurance, $100 flat fee, everything's 25,000,000% off or something. I'm like, well, I'll do that, but what is going on here? Why is this $100? Anyways, so I think I'm going to use them. They are the official dentist of the Los Angeles Clippers, which I thought was kind of, that's why I found them.
How did you find them?
Instagram. We're the official.
Where you find dentists.
Yeah, we're the official dental people of the Los Angeles Clippers. I was like, well, that can't be too bad. And it wasn't.
Are you sure they didn't make it up?
Well, there's, when you walk in, there is like a, you know, like there's like an iPad, or I think it's even bigger than an iPad. It's like a mini TV that's sitting on a table, and it's just them standing with a lot of the LA Clippers. And so I'm assuming they wouldn't just.
Right.
Do that, but maybe they do. I don't know. But I tell you, it's not a fun day leaving the dentist.
It's the worst.
And these people
get anxiety.
Yeah, and they don't do anything this first round. They just got to look everything over. So it's not like I leave and I'm like, well, at least they were clean now. So I leave and I'm like, well, now I got to get into it. It's the whole thing.
Yeah. So I get a lot of anxiety too going to the dentist.
You go a lot though.
Yeah, but I get really super nervous. And what I've learned is if you bring like headphones with you and listen to a podcast, it's a lot easier to
does help.
Get through it.
It does help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that is hopefully what I'll do. Apparently, I'm going to need to bring the whole trilogy of
Lord of the Rings. Like,
oh, they were fine people, nice people. But I just get, maybe it is a paranoia, but they weren't, there's no, don't worry about it. We'll get you it fixed up. It's all like, well, you better get this fixed before you explode. You know, they didn't say explode, but they might as well have. L.A. Clippers dentist people. But I do think that hopefully they'll be good.
Yeah, I got to get my wisdom teeth out, and I am not looking all forward to it. Yeah.
Well, Matt, don't you go every 3 months or something?
To get a cleaning, yeah.
Well, the norm is 6, so you're really on it.
Well, you have to be.
Did you grow up with parents that brought you to the dentist? You had it going good? Braces and all this?
I never got braces, no. No, I got... 4 caps on my front teeth.
All 4 front. Did they fall out or something on you? Or?
No, they were just, I had a ton of gap tooth. Like, I had several gaps on my teeth.
So they fixed that?
So they fixed it.
Did they have to pull the teeth out?
No, they, like, filed them down.
I went to a dentist one time in Chicago, and it was literally a crate. Like, he had to, like, pull a tooth, I guess. I thought I brushed my teeth twice a day. Nice floss, but apparently I have soft teeth, in my opinion. anyways, this guy's pulling on this tooth, and I swear to God, it was like the dentist from Steve Martin in Little Shop of Horrors. I was like, what in the shit?
It hurts, dude.
I mean, then I'm just like, good Lord, this guy might as well be a plumber getting a...
So that was probably the trauma of why you're so freaked out by dentists.
Well, I'm all right. I'm not freaked out by dentists. I just want to have you want to go into the dentist and then look and be like, good God, you're gorgeous. Look at you, Mr. Teeth. Oh boy. What have you, where have you been all my life? And instead they're like, you damn chimney sweep. I don't know why I don't think chimney sweeps have bad teeth, but you know, just, I don't feel like the king of the castle. I feel like a punk. I'm being punked by dog landlords, dentist. That's about it, though.
That's about it. That's a whole lot right there.
Yeah, so, I didn't realize that. It was nice to vent. Maybe
I'm glad
I need
you
more
did.
Therapy. Well, Maddie's high got five. His hand up to high five, but and that's fine. So what's going on with you? You're okay?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good. I went to a screening last night of my friend's film. Andre Hyland, he has a film out that's going to be out soon called The Death of Dick Long.
Well, that's an interesting film.
Yeah, and I don't want to give away the plot, but
is it pornography?
It's not.
All right. No. Well, just, you know, it
no,
could be.
It's coming out soon in theaters. And it was hilarious because in the Q&A, there was this guy that asked this question because there's this scene in the movie where the character like takes a lamp and starts strangling it because he's frustrated about something. And
what kind of lamp are we talking about?
Like an old vintage lamp.
Like, is it a real thin necked lamp or
thick neck lamp?
I see.
But there was a guy in the Q&A that was like, I was curious about that scene, a British guy. And he was like, he asked the writer, how'd you come up with that scene? Because I've actually done that before.
The man's been so angry that he decided to strangle a lamp in real life?
Yeah. And I just thought I think it was like the last question too. And I thought it was really bizarre. Like,
what was the reaction of the crowd for a question like this?
I think everyone just kind of looked at him like, how is that relatable? Like, have you ever picked up a lamp and strangled it because you're frustrated?
No, but with this guy's hammering, I feel like picking up a lamp and strangling it right now. I'll tell you that much. What in the world is going on up there? I'm trying to concentrate. What is happening?
I can't even hear it anymore. I think it stopped.
It stopped after I did that. Maybe my aggression got it. Jeez, what is happening? God. Probably a bunch of Girl Scouts setting up for a sale.
You know what you're reminding me of right now is that movie Network. When he said, "Have you seen that film?"
Oh yeah.
He's like, "I'm mad as hell." What does he say?
"I'm mad as hell."
I'm mad as
hell. I don't remember the quote, but I do know the movie.
"I'm mad as hell."
I love that movie.
Yeah. Anyway, well done.
You know, that guy, I hope he realizes that mentioning something like that, choking a lamp in front of a room full of strangers, is not the best move. I think he didn't need to do that. He could have been like, "I was just wondering where you got the inspiration for that. Why did he have to like bring himself in there and make himself look like a lunatic?"
I don't know, honestly, because it was bizarre.
But what did he look like?
He was a British guy.
Yeah, but did he look? Did people laugh when he said that? What was their reaction?
I think there was a little chuckle, but also like, who is this guy? Why would he strangle a lamp? You know,
right?
It was bizarre.
I like when people do bizarre things.
Me too.
And they do. And it's not really. I don't think he really wanted to ask the question as much as tell what he thought of the idea.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like he just wanted to be like, "Oh, cool, I do that."
Yeah.
"Oh, cool. There's
oh, cool. It's normal.
Where did you get that idea? Maybe me and you can join a group of people who, who get angry and strangle lamps." You know what's funny? So the movie again about, what's it called one more time?
The Death of Dick Long.
The Death of Dick Long. Dick Long, obviously a funny name.
And Andre Hyland is incredible. And
does he play
so
Dick
funny.
Long?
No, he plays this guy Earl
Long.
No, there's no Long in his name.
That reminds.
But he's really he vapes a lot in the movie.
Oh, I like
and
vaping.
That's
funny.
I asked Andre after the movie, what flavor the vape was, and he said custard.
Ew. Custard.
That sounds vape. Awful.
You know what's funny too is I thought you're gonna be like, where did you come up the idea for vaping? Because that's what I do.
Oh,
just
right.
Like that guy.
Yeah.
Do you know something that's funny is that name Dick Long really brings home to me because when I was a kid, my mom always had this story. She grew up in a very small town, like one of those towns where you can't. Like, literally, my grandmother was so religious, she didn't believe in dancing. So it was kind of like a footloose town where, like, the kids were like, "Can we have a dance?" And the townsfolk were like, not in your life. We're a religious town. So they're very naive town. I don't know if naive. They were very controlled. They didn't want the kids getting loose. Anyways. So my mom grew up in this town. She
overprotective.
They wanted to keep their values, and they weren't willing to even allow dancing. But they were also very like naive about this whole situation in life. They didn't really get the like references. Anyways, so I was driving in a little bit later in life, you know, like teens, early teens, and on this church. Into the town, they were celebrating Hairy Dick Days. It was they were like we're having Hairy Dick Days to celebrate Hairy Dick, the gentleman who is the church's maintenance man, and he's done this for so long and this and that. And I turned to my mom and I was like, "Hairy Dick Days," and she's like, "What do you mean Hairy Dick Days? Hairy Dick? You don't know what I'm saying, Mom? Hairy Dick?" And
yeah.
she turned white. And she's like, "I never thought about it. I never thought his name was Hairy Dick. And it was like a sexual reference and this and that." I'm like,
"Oh my God."
I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" She's like, I was like, "What's Hairy Dick like?" And she's like, "Oh, he's a hilarious guy, real nice around town." I was like, "Did anybody ever notice?" She's like, "I don't believe anyone thought anything of it." And I was like,
"I doubt that."
But then why wouldn't he go Harold?
Harold. Yeah.
Dick. Why? And who names their child Hairy Dick?
That's awful.
Naive dancing town. And it's funny to say the name, but not have a sexual reference to it, because it's clearly a sexual reference.
Well, what I want to know is how do people get Richard? Because my middle name's Richard. How do they get Richard to Dick? How it doesn't even...
Right. Yeah, I really don't know. That's a really...
And I've never really looked into that, but I don't understand that.
I think this guy should have been Harold Richard. That's how much I didn't like this. And whose last name is Dick? Andy Dick. There's Dick last names.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that last name. Anyways, that reminded me of that, because it's so funny that things can go around in the world, but that you literally don't know that it's something. You don't know. It's like, it could be a joke, and that guy should have probably been teased all his life. Harry Dick, get over here! And everyone laughs and everything, but he wasn't. He was a popular man around town and living his life without being teased for being Harry Dick.
Did you know anyone else with a weird weird name that was kind of funny?
Well, I did one time. My friend lost his cell phone, and this guy called my number, actually, or somebody's number, and anyways, he found the phone. And he rolled up, and you know those like really huge stacked bikes? They're like way up in the air.
And right.
He rolls up, and his name was Strange. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if he was named that, but Strange.
I met a voiceover guy that does sound booth work, and his name is Mike.
Right.
But his last name is Daly.
Mike Daly.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Which is a good... No, his name is Mike DeLay. That's his name.
Mike DeLay.
Mike DeLay.
Oh, so
his name is Mike DeLay. Do you think DeLay. That's...
Like, he's got a...
No, that's his real name.
With M-I-C?
M-I-C-K, I think. DeLay.
I knew this girl... Well, it's not even that word, just like hippie names and stuff like that. But I have never met.
Did anyone make fun of your name growing up?
They tried to. Anthony DeVries. It's kind of hard because what, you know, yeah. They said deep freeze.
Deep freeze.
Like, oh, okay. And the DeVry Institute was always something.
They would call me Fartaropel.
That's perfect. That's what. But
that's awful. What do you mean?
Oh, what's so awful? Fartaropel. You're okay. It's hilarious. What's wrong? What, you think it's that bad? Fartaropel? Could be worse. You could be named Harry Dick. Well, I guess he didn't have any problems. Or Mike DeLay.
I like Mike DeLay. I think that's cool.
Yeah. DeLay. I've never met a DeLay. Have you ever met the DeLays?
No.
Like
we got a Burge coming in. Joshua Burge. So let's bring him in. And Joshua Burge, really cool dude. He's going to come in. He's been in The Revenant, this movie Relaxer, Buzzard, 20th Century Woman. He's a really talented guy. He looks identically like Buster Keaton. So I'm excited.
He looks identical.
Identical.
He looks identically... to Buster Keaton.
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Do you think Buster Keaton was a real name?
All right, we got a really talented actor here. He's incredible. His name's Joshua Burge. He's been in this movie Buzzard. He's been in Relaxer, The Revenant. He's so talented. Here he is, Joshua Burge. What's up, man?
What's going on, Maddie?
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you.
I saw you last night. We went to that screening. That was fun.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it was. So what's going on, man? How you been? What's going on?
I've been well, man. I finally pulled up roots in my old home state of Michigan and moved out to LA last fall for keeps.
For keeps. For good.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's been a big thing in my life. So, but everything's going great.
You miss it. You miss the Michigan town.
No.
No, you don't.
No, okay, well.
You don't like Michigan. You heard it first, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I didn't want to dive in until I really got very calm. I come in hot, and I knew where to find you.
I have to point out currently it's January, February right now.
That's right.
That part of Michigan I do not miss.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
course, friends and family, I'll always miss. But
the polar vortex.
Bomb cyclone.
Did you experience polar vortex?
I was actually out of town the three times that it struck. I actually avoided it all three times. But yeah.
You're Ann Arbor? One of those?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Where is that on the hand?
It is closer to Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Equidistance between Chicago and Detroit.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean by the hand, Maddie?
I don't.
All right. Well, I'm going to let the Michigan man tell you. Do you know what I mean about the hand?
I do.
You're from Michigan.
It is the mitten state. It looks like a mitten. And people often, when they point out where they're from in Michigan, will point to a place on their hand while forming this shape.
Whoa.
So here's Detroit and here's Grand Rapids.
That's cool.
Here's Traverse City.
Yeah.
Land of Michael Moore. So
the Traverse City, where Michael Moore is from, is...
Well, he's not from there, but he...
The land of him.
Did you know him?
No, but I actually had the privilege of meeting him last July, because we had a film in the Traverse City Film Festival, which he spawned, basically. He created that.
Oh, wow.
So I got to meet him last summer, shortly before I left Michigan. Whoa. So that was very cool.
Was it Relaxer?
We had Relaxer there, and then I was in a film that was the closing night film called Burden, which...
Oh, wow.
It's not gotten released yet, but it should be out shortly, but it was
It a burden to work on? Or
Maddie.
I'm
so sorry to hear that. You heard it first, folks. I didn't say it. Anthony here, I did not make that reference. Anthony here. What in the world?
I was making a pun joke. Was joking.
Well, the man's making a serious... It was a serious movie about burdens in life, and you're gonna... Right? Was it serious? Not a joke movie?
It was not a joke movie.
Thank you.
No, but...
Good.
I appreciate the bit. I appreciate the
Thank you. Thank you. Now tell us what the movie's about, and let's see if we all appreciate that joke. I'm sure it's very serious.
I played a Klansman who was also a race car driver.
Yeah.
So whoa.
A racist race car driver in my raciest role yet?
Yeah.
That is such a dumb bit.
Wait a second. Did you just make a pun? Oh, why not I make a pun? Why don't I make a pun? Because I can't think of one, and that's why I'm anti-pun.
Is there redeeming qualities about this character?
Character is actually a very small part of the film. The film itself is actually based on a true story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
really?
The mid-90s, there was a character whose name was Mike Burden. His last name is
very nice.
And then he's also struggling between his quote-unquote family that he has that are Klansmen in the South, and then the love that he has for this woman who doesn't approve of that life, and she is involved in a Baptist church. And so he's at odds here, and so he's kind of going between both of them. But it is a great cast. Forrest Whitaker plays the minister of the Baptist Church.
Oh,
Tom Wilkinson plays the patriarch of the Klan. And so it was really cool to work with everybody on that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Did you get to drive in a race car? Were you at least in one?
I was in one. I don't drive, so no, they wouldn't let me do that.
That would make sense. Do you not drive in general?
No.
You don't want to start with race cars. You probably want to ease into that, I would assume.
Wait, you didn't drive in Michigan?
No, I haven't driven for 12 years. I did when I was younger, but I went to New York when I was like 19. I was like, this is brilliant to live in a place where you don't have to drive a car. Yeah. And so I thought that from that point on that it'd be my mission to never drive
again. And you found everywhere. You didn't have to drive anywhere.
Well,
you
eventually Uber and Lyft were invented, and then I didn't have to drive
anywhere. I bet that was great.
So do you not drive in L.A.?
I don't.
So you just Uber, Lyft everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I also take the train sometimes.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just thinking that it must have been... you probably actually save money, because I bet if you didn't have to buy a car, lease a car... Parking's really expensive a lot of places.
Insurance,
gasoline. Yeah, yeah. You probably end up saving money, but there was no reason to cut off what you were saying for
saving the planet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and my birthday is on Earth Day, so I feel like my
car,
that has nothing to do with my decision to do that. But
I was born on this day, therefore I will not be driving.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like to think that I have a decent carbon footprint, but I don't really know.
You do. Sure, you're better than a lot of people because you're not driving all over the place.
But other people drive me places. So
do you eat meat?
I do. I
try. How much, though?
once a day.
Once a day, huh? What kind of meat you eating?
Whatever kind gets put in front of me.
So you just eat whatever you don't think
him.
Man born on Earth
hot.
Day, and you just eat. I got to get out of here. I'm ready to hit this man. You just eat whatever kind of meat's in front of you. I'm out of here. I cannot believe you. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. And Earth Day of all days.
What? One thing you'll have to know about Anthony is a lot of what he says is he's just kidding around.
I'm assuming you understood that.
Yeah, I did.
I don't think you thought I was really angry that we both eat meat, but I was for some reason angry about
I
you eating meat.
I picked up on the facetiousness. Okay,
I think you did. It's pretty easy to, you know, I'm so not the best.
You're in this movie called Relaxer.
Yeah.
That's just incredible.
Oh,
I saw it at AFI.
Just Relaxer.
Great. Yeah.
Is that all right for a pun?
You need to relax, sir. I'll tell you that.
Relax her a little bit with a massage. Relax her.
We got to come up with a pun for your
Relaxer.
Next
I hardly know her.
I like that one.
So tell us about Relaxer. How did that come about? And tell us what it's about.
Yeah. So I'm part of a film collective back in Michigan still, where it's called Sob Noise. And the head sort of it, the captain that steers the ship, is he writes and directs these films. And this is the fourth one that I've been a part of, the fifth one total. And we just like making movies together. Like we've been doing it for 10 years now. So it's just exciting. And we had not worked. Buzzard was another film that we'd worked on. That was, 2013. So it had been 4 years before we got back together. So we came into working on Relaxer excited because we couldn't believe that it had been 4 years since we hadn't made a film together.
Yeah.
So we were so excited about it. And he came with this crazy script that we worked on for a few months, just hashing it out, basically about a guy who gets challenged by his abusive older brother to beat Pac-Man.
Huh. Right. Right before Y2K, right?
Right before Y2K, yeah. So it's a bit of a period piece.
I like that.
It takes place in 1999. And so, yeah, that's the basic premise. And I don't know if it's challenging for people to watch or not. I can't wait for people to see it. But the idea is that there is just this guy on this couch who cannot leave this couch until he beats Pac-Man. So that is the entire film.
And it all takes place in this one space.
This one apartment,
and
yeah.
That's what I loved about the movie is it's so entertaining. You just sitting there and like following this guy's story. It's just so good, man. It's really well done.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
How'd you prepare for that role? Like, and how many days did you film doing that?
So, yeah, total shoot, filming days was 12 or 14. I know it's an even number, but I can't remember which even number. 12 or 14. A couple weeks. And, you know, my preparation was just kind of going over with Joel, like, who is this guy? Is there some sort of dissonant with reality with this character? Like, what is happening with him? You know, he's a video game savant in many ways. Like, he's quite good. He's adept at video games for sure. He beats every single one that comes his way, but doesn't like the old video games because they're too hard, you know? So he doesn't appreciate those old video games. So his brother challenges him to beat Pac-Man, which, and I don't think this is giving anything away. Anybody who's maybe is a video game nerd of a bit and knows that you can't beat Pac-Man. Once you get to level 256, there's a kill screen.
Right, oh, wow. Right.
So, but this character does not know that. So he's trying to beat this level 256 based on a contest that was a real contest proposed in the late 90s by Billy. I'm blanking on his last name.
Is it Billy?
From King of Kong.
Billy, the guy with the sauce, hot sauce and all that stuff. The main guy, right? Billy?
Yeah, yeah. He's now like shamed out of the video game community.
Because he cheated, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's such a villain.
He is such a villain. And we didn't even really know that when we
Billy
were
Mitchell's
shooting.
The
Billy Mitchell.
Name.
That's Billy, exactly yeah. right.
Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell.
What a villain.
So he did put on this contest in the late 90s where if you beat level 256, you get, I don't know, what, $100,000 or whatever it was.
And wow.
And he knew that you can't beat that. So it was this whole promotional
whatever. Right, right.
So that's what we kind of reference in this. So this character is stuck to this couch trying to beat level 256 of Pac-Man, not knowing that it's a futile effort.
Yeah. I can't wait to find out what happens when we hit to the kill switch.
When does it come out?
I can't wait to watch this movie.
Yeah. You know?
Well, you'll be able to, Anthony, on March 22nd.
Hey, that's not too bad.
On VOD or
VOD, theatrical, Blu-ray, DVD, all the platforms. It's all going to drop on March.
When's it going to
screen in L.A.? March 22nd. That's what I've heard so far from our distributor, Oscilloscope Laboratories, who've been awesome.
Yeah.
But we don't have a theater locked, or maybe there is a theater lockdown, but it hasn't been released yet. As soon as I have that info, I'll share it, of course. But yeah, it should be playing, I'm assuming, probably more art house stuff, you know, like, but
yeah, yeah.
But who knows? They could have a whole other plan.
Well, you, it sounds like you have a deep root in this Michigan film world. Did you guys have to create your own, or was there already an established community, or kind of a little of both, maybe?
A little of both. At the time that we kind of started, there was an established community, and that was when the film incentives had just kind of started, the tax incentives in Michigan. Mm. And that was when we started making movies, but we weren't really a part of that. Our films were so micro, no budget that, I mean, we would never have hit any of the qualifying criteria to have any sort of incentive. So, but at that time, there was still like a very vibrant scene happening where people that were in cast and crew and writers and directors were in Michigan doing their thing. But eventually that kind of got pulled and a lot of our friends moved away, New Orleans, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Vancouver, wherever, you know, so people left kind of after the incentives died in, I don't know, 2015, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Was it hard for you to move, or were you okay with, I mean, you're ready for it. You're ready to
eventually
have a new experience.
I was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was asked years ago to move, but at that time I owned a house in Michigan and I had a life in Michigan, and then my friends and family and life was very comfortable, and we were working on things, and it just seemed very
comfortable, right?
It seemed strange to be asked to just give all that up and move to Los Angeles, where I heard that you shouldn't really do that.
right. Yeah.
You know, so it took a few years, but I came out here about 3 years ago, lived for a year and some change, and I love the city a lot.
Yeah, it's great, right?
It's the best.
Yeah.
A year and some change is a good time to like feel it out too. I feel like that first year, a lot of people are like, man, this place is terrible. Or they're like, this is a good place to be, you know? So it's good that you're already kind of rooted in some ways. You have friends and you're already working and you're making a good
very
attempt
fortunate
at enjoying
all
it.
Of that. Yeah,
yeah. That's so awesome.
That I fell in love with it right away as a result of that. Just having so many friends that were already here, and it's made it very welcoming.
Where did you move to in L.A.? Like, what neighborhood do you live in?
Sorry, I hear people talking out there.
Yeah, please go. For a while, I want to tell you this. Before you got here, we were hearing hammering.
Hammering?
Yeah. And there's a sound booth, and now everyone's joking. What is going on with this party? We're trying to get down and dirty with you.
Based on what you're saying right now, you could have just done the podcast from my apartment building.
Yeah, right. Or in a, might as well just gone.
It's full on construction going right across the hall. It's so crazy.
Go there. Yeah. So, where do you live now? Are you uncomfortable talking about? You don't want all these people knocking on your door, flipping out. You know,
flipping out.
Let me get a picture. Autograph. You don't have to give your address, of course.
No, I live like East Hollywood area.
East Hollywood.
Thai Town.
Enjoying that.
Yeah.
Easy to get around without a car?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's easy to, there's a lot of markets and grocery stores and everything in that area. So the way that I've always lived in a city is that I can just walk down the block if I need to grab something really quick, you know. So,
isn't that how life should be in a lot of ways? You know, we should use our grocers and things around us so we don't have to like, oh, I'm going to drive to this place because it's better. There's so many places that are around, I'm sure, even my place. But I like to, I always have to drive to Sacramento to get to my grocery. No, I'm just kidding.
That's
but
far.
I think it's nice to be able to stay in your certain area and be able to like experience the neighborhood. And
yeah, totally. Tell us about Buzzard, this other film you're in, because that was also incredible.
Oh, thanks again, man.
AFI.
That you did see it at AFI?
I did. Yeah, that's I was there with Andre.
Oh, cool.
Because his movie played before.
Oh, right.
And I was there, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and that's how
yeah.
I first knew about you, was seeing that movie.
I didn't get to be there, unfortunately.
Oh, AFI's you weren't there?
No, I was working at the time.
Oh, man.
So.
Were you working on a movie?
Yeah, I was. I was up in Calgary working on The Revenant,
actually. Oh, on The Revenant.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I love AFI. It's one of my favorite fests.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But
it was probably worth it not going for a big budget film like that, you know.
Yeah,
it was all right to take one for the team, I suppose.
Yeah. I think everybody understood. But you know, but I still love like going to fest and like meeting other filmmakers.
Yeah, it's so much
like,
fun.
It's one of my favorite aspects of the whole thing. So
right,
yeah.
So Buzzard, it's about a guy that writes phony checks, right?
Ooh. Well, he not inherits, not the right word, but he works for a mortgage company, and a bunch of checks that are supposed to go out to people that
other companies or whatever.
Yeah, well, back to the people that have paid, overpaid or whatever.
Right.
Ooh.
And so they don't know about it. So there's this backlog of checks, and it's his job to supposed to send these out. And so he just takes them instead and signs them over to his name and starts cashing them.
Jeez.
So that scam in his head. Previous to that, he had been doing just small time, like, this says 50 cents off a Totino's pizza, you know, like, I need a, send me a free Totino's pizza because this one tastes like crap or whatever, you know.
Right,
like,
But
now this one's like a kind of like a big scam for him. And so he starts to become paranoid, and it all starts going downhill.
It's such
rapidly.
A good movie.
Is that based on reality as well? Did that really happen?
Not exactly.
Okay. It was inspired by.
The writer, director, Joel Petraeus is his name. He's brilliant. And he.
Michigan man?
Michigan guy.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely. And he used to kind of do little scams like this along the way, you know, here and there, just little funny things. And he just kind of wrote that out of his experience of what would it happen if I did something
actually did that
even a little bit larger than this.
Yeah.
Right.
But
and nobody knew that what they were losing. So you can say, well, you can justify nobody even, it doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Right. Know. Right.
They
didn't
all
kinds
know
of
anyway.
Justification.
Right.
Happen,
right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That movie's, awesome. What's it like working with Joel? How does he work as a director? Like, is he very hands-on with you, or do you guys rehearse, or how do you guys work together?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking months before we go to set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we discuss for a long time, like, who these characters are, you know, like, who this, in my case, like, who this guy is, what is he up to, like, what's going on. I mean, we talk about this for months, you know, we crack jokes, we go from one extreme to the other, and then come back somewhere in the middle, and then, you know, we get the script, and we'll do sort of table read round tables with a lot of the people that are involved in Sob Noise, you know, like a dozen people or so, and people in on Skypes, and we'll read it through and then take notes and what worked and what didn't, you know, and get rid of exposition and do all that. And then so that everything is as tight as absolutely possible by the time you get to set, so that we don't have to do any rewrites on set, because that's when the money starts coming and you're asking for people to be involved and you're asking for their time and you're, you know.
Right.
We try to have a finished product as much as possible by the time that we start shooting.
That's awesome.
Here's a good question. Maybe for people out there that are getting into what you're getting into or what you're into, how important is it to be prepared? I like this. It sounded like you guys are ready. It's important. You got to be ready.
I think it's the most important thing.
Right.
It's something I really value.
Months in advance.
Yeah. I want to know what I'm getting into. That's
professionalism is important. A lot of people probably don't even, they just, I'm funny, I'm this. You got to be a pro.
Well, you know, but there are other schools about that too. Like I value preparation.
Yeah.
But there are other people I know that really value improvisation.
Sure.
And so that kind of just happens on set once you're in a location or, you know, you're shooting and these things start happening and you're looking at each other like across a desk or there's props or whatever's going on, you know, like they work better in those realms. And I don't think that's any less professional.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know? I do think, though, that in order to, like you said, there's a lot of money flowing around. The way you do it is you got to be prepared. And then when you're prepared, then you can be free to improvise. That's maybe the best of both worlds. I don't know.
The classic know the rules before you break them.
Yes,
sort of,
yeah, almost. It seems, but it sounded refreshing. I don't know. Just you guys saying 2 months, that's you're getting to know it. You know, why not get ready for it, you know, when it's happening?
That's smart.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Revenant and how long that preparation was, because that I heard you were up there for several months. Right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But the actual preparation going into it was less.
Tell us, I guess, how you got the audition or.
Sure. Yeah. It just kind of, after Buzzard happened and it screened at in Lincoln Center at South by Southwest and then MoMA, and then it got kind of like all these reviews that were really awesome and we couldn't believe it. And then
so great.
At that time I had no representation, so I had my personal number on my IMDb.
Smart.
That's great. Well,
what else was I going to do?
Somebody got to get a hold of you. Your pager. Page me if you're interested.
So I got a call from a 310 area code, and they said, would you like to read for this film? And actually, that was for a different film. But then I ended up getting another call from a 310 area code. I let it go to voicemail again because I figured it was probably somebody that I owed money to or something.
Yeah. Sure.
Or you're like, I don't want to talk to Paul either.
Yeah. And they said, you know, there's this film starring Leonardo DiCaprio directed by Alejandro who it's about fur trapping and we'd like you to read for it. And I was just like, I called Joel Patrakis right away. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're not going to believe this. Doesn't this movie with a fur trapper starring Leonardo DiCaprio having me read for it? Doesn't this sound like the stupidest idea ever?
right.
And we both kind of laughed and just like, maybe it's awesome. All right. Yeah, maybe it is awesome.
Right.
So we went and shot it, the audition, and I did another audition a couple months later and another audition.
My gosh.
And then by then they're just like, stop shaving, stop cutting your hair. Like you're on the short list, blah, blah. And I was just like, okay. And then they called me one day and they said, Alejandro wants you to audition live, you know, in person in front of him, but you have to fly up to Calgary to do it. And I said, okay, that's great. I'd love to. That sounds brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said the other caveat is that the plane, we've already bought the ticket and it leaves in an hour. Can you get to the airport?
No, they did not.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God.
What if you said, I can't, I'm working. These son of a guns.
An hour.
What
if you were taking a nap?
Yeah. There's all kinds of things I could have been doing in that hour. But as fate would have it, I was not doing anything.
For the next few days, I have nothing scheduled, and I'll be there.
Yeah.
The only problem is I have shaved and cut my hair. I'm just kidding.
You're on the couch playing Pac-Man.
Yeah.
1 hour.
I was actually playing video games.
You were? Yeah. Oh, that's
Civilization V, I think.
Did that give you anxiety? Like, how did you pack within, like... So you have to be in an airport. Some people say be in an airport an hour early.
Yeah.
So now you have an hour to get there.
Right.
And you haven't packed? What's going on?
Right. So I just grabbed a sweater and something and threw it into a bag and went to the airport. I'm living in Grand Rapids this time, so the time to get to the airport's not extreme.
How long?
It's not like going from LA to LAX, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to battle out of traffic. So I did make it on time and got to Calgary. And I went in and I had the audition the next morning. And
how many pages was it?
Well, it was the same pages that I'd kind of had already been doing three or four times.
Okay.
So I already knew that
you
stuff.
Knew, yeah.
So that part I wasn't worried about, but the casting director just kind of gave me a heads up and just said, be prepared to do some improvisation. Alejandro's going to want to hear a lot of that. And I was against not my strong suit. So I was I'll just do what I do and see what happens.
Right.
And I got to the production office and then they called me up and I went in and Alejandro's sitting there and he stands up and walks over and says, thanks for coming. And there's eight other, I'm assuming, casting people that were there in the room. And It was great. It was, he just sat me down. He just said, have a seat. And then we talked for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. He just wanted to know about my life.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was wild. I was a musician, so he wanted to know. He loved music. Still, I'm assuming still loves music. And he just wanted to hear about that and my experiences. And he said, okay, how you would like to do the audition now? And I was brilliant. And so I went in.
okay.
And we did that.
Yeah.
And he did this move. It was so wild. He said, now out here is the camera. And he pointed to the camera, this videotaping the audition. He said, but my eyes are the actual camera. I said, okay, that's fine. I had no idea what he meant, you know.
Yeah.
Then he shut his eyes.
Yeah, he could have. It would have been par for the course. But no, instead he got close with his, you know, and he moved in and out, and he walked around the room, and he walked around the perimeter.
As you're auditioning?
As I was auditioning.
So you're following, yeah. Do you have to follow him?
No, I stood in one spot. I just had to not break, I guess. You
did your audition while he was doing that?
Yeah, you get like 3 inches from my face.
Ordering a pizza. He was in your face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because his eyes were the camera, so he was looking at like close angles. Oh, my. Like that. So he was doing that stuff, you know.
Were you like, is this him? Is this a prank? What is happening?
I don't know. I just like stay focused and keep going through it. Like, I didn't know. I'd never
experienced anything like that before. That's amazing that you got through that without like... That you didn't
giggling or something
or anything.
Yeah, like, yeah. I
that would have thrown me off. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
You had to do it though.
I just
didn't
had
want
to do
mess
it.
With it.
Yeah, I just flown 3,000 miles.
Yeah, you're
or whatever
you're
to
exhausted just, from flying.
Yeah, I just stay focused with the reader and just do that, and you know,
that's wild, man.
It was crazy, but he said, "Okay, thank you very much," and then four people escorted me down and took me to the airport, and I was home in time for dinner. So it was like a really
same day.
Yeah.
Wow. Or the day after.
Well, it was the day after. So I got in late, and then
I'd like if they were like, now you got to find your way back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on set, did he do that eye thing too?
No, no.
He's like, we don't have our equipment. I'm just going to.
No, after that, like, I think he just kind of knew what he wanted.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That's
like,
really cool.
He just knew. And I think his relationship with Chivo, they've worked together so much that he knew. They know that stuff. So it was really an opportunity of a lifetime to work with brilliant filmmakers.
Yeah.
Like
when did you find out you got the part?
So that was a Friday that I got home, and then Monday I got a call that just said, pack your bags, you're going to Calgary.
Wow.
1 hour. 45 minutes, in fact.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
You want this or you not?
Yeah, I'm going to need more than 1 hour if I'm going for 7 months.
The car's outside. We'll make you wear the same outfit for the next. So then 7 months. And what was your time frame from that to preparing to live somewhere else for 7 months? How long did you do that for?
So that was probably about a month that I had to prepare to actually leaving for Canada. And yeah, so then early September, it's actually Labor Day weekend. I flew into Calgary, and then at the time, I think they said February or March, we went a little over schedule, whatever, but that happens.
You're working. Yeah.
So I was prepared for a long shoot. It ended up being a little bit longer, but they told us up front that it was going to be a long shoot. So I think everybody was kind of in that mindset.
What was it like living up there for that long?
I don't think hotel living is designed for that amount of time.
Yeah, the walls start closing in.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, I've done that. It's awful.
You go to one person's room or your another friend's room. All the rooms are exactly the same.
I know.
Just,
yeah.
Why are we going to any of the other rooms? Like, it's so strange. Like, everything kind of becomes really bizarre, and they're not meant for that type of long term living. But I mean, everybody was great. Like, everybody. In Calgary and north of Vancouver and Squamish, everybody was brilliant. Like in Canada, the cast and crew, everybody was extraordinary. So
it made
it really easy. Oh, he's great, man.
Yeah.
He's great fun.
Did you guys hang out?
A little bit here and there. Yeah. 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 Cool. He's actually I don't know if this is weird to say. like in Canada, Thanksgiving's in October.
Right, right.
And
you
so,
say that.
Yeah, okay. But then
I
like,
don't want to hear such things.
But then November rolls around and we were working on what a Thanksgiving in America or whatever. It's, you know, and but like he was warm enough to like the cast and the crew, whatever, he just like invited us all over for Thanksgiving, you know? Like he was like that warm and welcoming of a guy, you know? Like,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, we hung out and did that. And he's a nice guy, man. He was funny. He was fun to be around.
I think it's all right for you to say that. You can say the man celebrates Thanksgiving. It's all right.
I guess that's not a big insult.
It's not like you're like the guy. No, you're saying he was a gentleman who offered you a dinner, you know?
That's great.
This is a, I love this.
So I know that the director's filming process was, I heard it's a little bit grueling because you have to be outside for quite a long time and he has to film a certain shot. He does a lot of shots in one take, I've heard. Is that true?
Or at least they go for that. Certainly long takes so that they can be stitched together into what appears to be an extremely long take.
So what was your scene? Describe your scene that you did in the Revenant.
Well, I did a few.
Yeah.
But
your few scenes.
The first one, though, is the one that was the toughest job. It's one of the opening scenes, the battle scene. And it just kind of starts out that these guys are really, they just gotten back from a hunt or a trap or just working all day. And they were kind of wiped out and tired. And they're joking and they're speaking nonsense to each other. And then an attack happens from First Nation people, the Arikara tribe. And just all hell breaks loose. And it's the craziest scene. It all looks like it's certainly one shot. And these takes were incredibly long and well choreographed. And I mean, just everybody had to be doing the right thing at the right time. And the camera was so fluid. And it's just this ballet and this whole dance that's happening to make that happen. You know, that illusion to occur.
How many different takes did you have to do to get the right one?
Oh, quite a few. I mean, there was the opening sequence was tough enough because you're going from one thing to another so quickly. I mean, I remember that working on that for days just to get it right, and we'd switch it up and do. I wasn't actually supposed to be in that first scene, so I ended up in that scene just like day three or something like that.
Oh wow!
It just kind of happened. But once I got there, like I understood that. Why it was so difficult, and it just was that. It was the rhythm. It was, like I said, the dance of it. Just so many moving pieces, so many things happening. And with the fluidity and, you know, bounce boards, giant, you know, 20-foot bounce boards or whatever, moving across this forest. You know, it's just...
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so wild. So
it's incredible.
But yeah.
So cool.
But Alejandro had that vision, and everything was like that. Like the lighting...
The lighting in that is insane. So good.
They had to hold until that lighting, and there's somebody with a sunglass that said, okay, 2 minutes, a minute 30 seconds, you know, and then now we got to go. Like, so it's that precise.
You cannot, this is important lighting, so you got to get it. You can't be like, retake.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, the precision that was required is extraordinary.
Wow. Well, they're trying to battle light.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to battle, I'll tell you that.
It is,
much.
Yeah. So what are you working on now? What's are you working on writing any scripts or any other things? Oh,
actually,
cool.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually have a meeting where we're addressing a treatment for a film that we've had sort of been developing for a couple of years now, but it's only been recently where people have been interested to listen to our ideas.
That's great, man.
But it's actually a Buster Keaton biopic.
Ooh. What? Yes.
So I don't know. We're going to take it as far as we can go, and we are working as hard as we can to do it. But
we need one. Yeah. We need one of these.
I feel like it's going to happen. I have a good feeling because you look like him, and I feel like it's going to. Going to happen.
Everybody that's working on it really cares about it too.
Yeah.
We want to get it right.
So right.
We don't want to plod through it or do any stereotypical front to back biopic star stuff.
We
I think that we're on to like a really clever approach to it, and we're just going to keep developing it. So that's the big project I have.
That's
personally
so cool.
Anyway.
Are
going
you
on
are
right
you
now.
Studying clowning then as we? Not as we speak, I suppose. You're not like practicing slipping on a banana at this moment, yeah. But
you want me to follow the chair, yeah, Anthony?
Yeah. Have you been working on any of that stuff? I'm sure that's pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I like physical stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. I like doing physical stuff, but yeah, I need to get better at tumbling and gymnastics and like that stuff. Once it starts getting closer to that,
the filming will probably take.
Yeah.
Where are you thinking about doing that? Are there any like clowning schools that you know about?
Not that I know of right now. It's really gymnastics stuff that I know of. Like,
oh, really? That you have to learn that?
Yeah, sort of acrobatic things, just like stretching and getting flexible enough to. Because I think like my pain tolerance is pretty high, actually. So if
that's good,
which is positive.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Because I think I'm going to need that.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, flexibility is probably real. Like yoga and all that stuff is probably really important with that.
Yeah. And all that stuff is just kind of what I need to work on in order to get better at it. But yeah, I mean, the piece, the way that we're writing it, the way we're doing it is clever enough to where it won't be so demanding. We don't want to try to duplicate Buster. Like,
right.
We don't want to be like, he was so good, we can do it too. And yeah, like, you know, sure, like,
sure. Right.
Junk on his legacy like that, you know. Yeah. Like, we want to show that it was magic,
right? I love that.
That's kind of like our approach to it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool, right, Anthony?
That's all right. No, no, it's great. It's great.
It's amazing.
It's great, yeah.
What do you love about Buster? Like, what are some of the things about his life?
There's a few parallels. He actually spent a lot of time in Muskegon, Michigan, which is about a half hour from where I grew up.
My old roommate from Muskegon.
Is that right?
That's definitely true, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still have a Buster Keaton Film Festival there every September.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But I was a film of the old silent comedies since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And not just the silent comedies, but also Laurel Hardy and Marx Brothers and all. So I knew Chaplin and Keaton, Harold Lloyd and Harry Langdon and all the, you know, I've just been a fan since I was a very young child. And around 2005, a friend of mine was visiting me and he came back and he was a student at Harvard and they were doing a Buster Keaton Film Fest on campus or something like that. And he came back and visited me in Michigan. He slammed the flyer down the table. He's like, does this look like anyone we know? And it, at the time, like, it was a spitting image of me. And I was at the time, I also wasn't working on film anymore. So I thought, man, if we ever get back into film, we should start working on a Buster Keaton biopic. You know?
Ever since then.
That's amazing.
And it's only been in the past few years that we really have like had serious energy behind it. But it's always kind of been in the back of my head as far as wanting to do that. But he himself, like,
it's gonna happen.
I'm sorry he's so aggressive with you, throwing things on tables. Does this look like anyone we know? Like, I don't know. Why are you yelling at me? Look at him closely.
Slam me up against the wall.
Answer me.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I look like identical to Nick Drake, and everyone always says that I need to do a Nick Drake biopic.
So. Yeah. It is uncanny, actually.
It is.
I didn't
it's
think
weird.
About it until you said just now,
Yeah, I didn't either.
Who do you look like, Anthony? Is there anyone?
I've always got like a cross between two people.
Who?
My parents. I have no idea.
That's awesome, man. I hope that Buster Keaton thing happens. It's so cool.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, we're certainly going to take it as far as we possibly can. So
cool. Yeah. Well, what advice do you have for other actors that are just starting out? What would you say to them if they were here?
I don't know if it's a cliche anymore at this point or not, but like, make your own work.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like,
not. It's so true.
It is so true. I don't know. I don't think I'd be doing it if we didn't work on stuff. You know, going back 10 years, my buddies in Michigan, you know, and myself, we made our own stuff to put out there. You know, nobody was calling for us.
Right.
So, I mean, the benefit is having something gets put out there, but also having the experience of making something. So
right, it right.
just becomes invaluable.
Right.
It's not, you can't learn that all the time in college just by going to a class or reading or whatever. You
know, right.
Working is the best experience. Those are the two biggest things that I could think of, you know. Also, something that I think is great is to know everybody else's job, not yeah. to do it for them, but just be respectful and understand what they're doing and contributing to everything, you know.
Like, right, yeah. It's like a collaboration.
It is yeah. a collaboration, yeah. and it's a machine, it's a mechanism to make this one final product, and everybody has to work together, and it's crucial to know what everybody's role is and to
right.
be helpful when you can and be out of the way when you can, you know.
Like, yeah, exactly.
To make it happen. So
that's awesome. That's
great advice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now don't forget on March 22nd. There's a little movie being released, and it's going to be so sweet.
And it's called Relaxer.
Yeah.
And where is Buzzard? Is that on online right now at all?
It is. iTunes, if you're Amazon Prime, it's free on Amazon Prime.
Whoa. Let's get out there, Amazon Prime users.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, I've got all the things.
You got all the things?
I got all okay, the things. Cool. The Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram.
Not so much the Snapchat.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that many people are doing that Snapchat.
Yeah. Is it over?
Yeah.
I'm glad I blew that one off.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Thanks for giving your time. And I wish you great success. And you're the best, man.
Thanks, man. You're the best, man. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was
thanks for coming.
Pleasure talking to both of you. Anthony, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
He was so aggressive.
I love it.
Well, I didn't like the thing when Maddie was like, I wish you the best. I don't believe he believed that.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
This was so great. Joshua Burge was so informative. We talked about a lot of things. And we thought, how better would it be to have a full recap than our very own dear friend, Greg Buckman. So Greg Buckman's been here the whole time. And now it's time for the Greg Buckman, Maddie and Anthony's world recap. So here is the Greg Buckman, Maddie and Anthony's world recap. Go ahead, Greg.
Wow. Joshua, great guy. I picked him up and I brought him up here in the elevator.
What'd you think? Like you picked him up his whole body? Or?
Oh, no. I didn't pick him up like that.
So what'd you think about what he was talking about, though? This is a recap, not a, you know.
When we rode the elevator, he said, what floor are they on?
I'm sorry. The 11th floor. I think you're confused. Not the elevator where it was just you.
Not the elevator recap.
The show recap. And also about how we were talking about the dogs and the dentistry and all that stuff. Well, give us some thoughts, insight.
Oh, wow. I did hear the part about the dog.
Okay.
What did your dog eat?
My dog didn't eat anything.
But you said, didn't your dog get...
No. My dog didn't get sick at all.
Your dog get what?
What?
Somebody was talking about Greg, like...
We brought you here to do the recap. Did you listen? Where were you? I mean, don't whisper. What were you doing? He's whispering.
Whispering and putting
we
his
We put
hand.
You in the other room to do the show recap. We want that happening. What happened? Where were
what
you?
What happened?
Did you not listen?
I couldn't hear it.
Well, how could you not hear it? We put you in you got headphones on and everything in there. What were you doing?
Wow. I don't know. I guess they didn't work.
Well, you could have let us know. Why did we bring you here to do a recap if you're not going to do a recap?
I didn't want to interrupt.
But you didn't interrupt. You, in fact, didn't even listen, apparently.
Yeah, I guess the headphones weren't working.
Well, folks, that is
That's our recap.
That's our recap. The recap was there was no recap. So, Gregory Buckman, thank you so much for coming
thank
in
you.
And doing
thank
that
you
recap.
For doing our show. Thank you for being here, Greg. And take care of that leg, buddy.